It says here that he trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skills for battle. You see, this is what God does. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skills for battle. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war. I want you to turn with me to John 11, 1 through 27. I'm going to talk to you about what's going on in the lives of God's people. It says in the first verse, it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sister therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In this scripture is saying that Mary, the one that anointed Jesus' foot with ointment and also dried his feet with her hair, her brother was sick. And she went to Jesus and said, guess what? The one that you love, is her brother is sick. Her brother's in trouble. Some of us are like that. We're going through something and we go to somebody else. And we tell them, listen, you know, my family's hurting. Somebody is not well. And you go to them for help. But imagine if you went to Jesus himself. And you told him about your situation. And he just said, okay. This is what happened here. So I want to keep on going. So it says here that his sister therefore sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou loveth is sick. Someone say, he whom thou loveth is sick. Now, it wasn't just anybody. It was somebody that he loved. It was somebody that Jesus loved. I'm going somewhere today. And it says in the fourth, it says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. And now Jesus loved Martha and the sister and Lazarus. And when therefore he heard that he was sick, he abided at that time 2 days in the place where he was. Now, what this is saying in the scripture, when he heard that he was sick, Jesus didn't get up. He heard that he was sick. Instead, he stayed where he was for 2 extra days. 2 days. You imagine you told a friend that someone was sick and they didn't show up right then and there? We go crazy. We're like, well, they don't do us right. See, they don't really love our family. They're not there for us. But the Son of God had received a message, and he stayed there for 2 days. And some of us right now in the church, if the pastor don't show up right when you call, you have a problem. If one of the saints don't shake your hands, you got an issue. Now, this individual literally took the time to put her best ointment on the foot of Jesus. And she even took her hair and wiped her feet, his feet. Now, I know how it is today. Now, you know, us black women especially, we ain't gonna wipe nobody's hair after we got our hair done on anybody's feet. I don't think no women will. But you know, sometimes we're not going to do that. But this is what Mary did. She adored him so much that she was willing to wipe his feet. Now, a personal issue arrived in her own family, and Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days. And what God is trying to reveal unto us is that his will is going to be done to glorify his Father which is in heaven. See, so there's things that's going on in your life that you've been crying out to God, Lord, why aren't you here right now? He said, I'm here, but I'm trying to bring glory to my name. He says that I don't want a church goer, but I want somebody that brings glory to my name. This is what Jesus is saying. He's tired of the churches being filled with hypocrites, but yet he says, bring glory through my name to what you're going through. So now this sister was shaking. She was like, you know what? Jesus ain't, he's not coming to my knee. He's not on my doorstep knocking, saying, oh, here I am. I'm ready to come in. Instead, he stayed in the city for two more days. The next passage talks about how Jesus knew that where he was ready to go, they weren't on his side. You imagine when you're trying to go and minister to someone, or you're going into the enemy's camp. This is what happened in the next verse. Let's read it. Amen. Praise God. And it says, Jesus said, heard and said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. So the sickness was not unto death, but it was to do what? Glory who? Was to do what? Amen. So it was to glorify God. And Jesus loved Martha and a sister in Lazarus. And when therefore he heard that he was sick, he abided at that time 2 days in the place where he was. In the seventh verse it says, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go again. And the disciples said unto him, Rabbi, this is where I'm going with this. He said, Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone thee. And thou goest thither again? So the Jews said to Jesus, you know what? These people want to stone you. And you're still going to them? Praise God. This is how we do in the church. Well, they don't like me, so why should I go? But if your life is to do the will of God, you're supposed to say, send me and I'll go. So Jesus knew that he was ready to go into the enemy camp to do a battle, to fight against the enemy, because he had to do the will of his Father. How many of us want to do the will of our Father? So the will of your Father is not to just sit and be idle. And the will of your Father is not to be broken spiritually. If you're broken spiritually, where you don't have the strength to carry on, then you must place your whole will and body in the hands of God. Amen. Because there's something wrong with that picture. When we say that God, for God we live, for God we die, we have to mean it. Especially in today's time. Is that right? Amen. It ain't getting easier, is it, church? People are bound, they're oppressed, and they're stumbling in their faith. The next passage says, and then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go unto Judah again. And the disciples said unto him, Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone thee, and thou goest thither? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he seeth the light of the world. So in this passage, what happened? I'm talking about the journey that Christ made. The disciples said to Christ, he said, listen, we need to go now if we're going to go. We got to sneak in. And Jesus said, if you walk in the day, you won't stumble. And there's a message there. God is saying that we are not walking in the light. We have a mission that we've been sent on. and we're trying to run at night. We're trying to find a way to get it done quicker. So this is what's going on in the next verse. Watch here. In the next verse, it says, when therefore he heard, I'm going to go back down, excuse me there. I'm at the ninth verse. It says, then after this, he said unto his disciples, let us go to Judah. And the disciples said unto him, Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone thee, and thou goest thither again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in a day, he stumbles not, but he seeth the light of the world. The next part is going to go. Next scripture 10 says, but if a man walketh in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. You see, now it wasn't talking about the light of the world. It said because the light is not in him. And God is saying that we have a mission to do, an assignment that God has placed in your life, and you're trying to do something good. You're trying to get there, but you're trying to sneak there. You're trying to sneak there. When you do something good in the darkness, it's still darkness. So what we do in our life is we say, well, I'm saved and I love the Lord. But we know we want to go clubbing. We just want to go. We don't want to be different. So we go. And then when we get there, we say, whoa, I was witnessing. You know you got dressed that night, that morning. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to club. Going to hang out. You get there, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I'm going to. And now it ain't going your way. Now you're like, well, I'm going to talk about Jesus. But your intent was to get to the body. Now here, I'm just going to break this down because Jesus heard that his friend was sick. And they were continuously moving forward to minister. Imagine if you're moving forward to minister and everything goes wrong. I'm not going to be before you much longer. Everything goes wrong. And everybody that knew you know that it went wrong. So in the next verse, it says, and now Jesus spoke of the death. And I'm at the wrong place. I'm at 19. Let's go down to 14. And it says here, I'm going to go to 12, excuse me. And the disciples therefore said unto him, Lord, if he is fallen asleep, he will recover. And now Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he spoke of his rest and sleep. And the 14th verse says, then Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that it was not, that for that your sake that I was not there in the interim, that you may believe. This is where I'm going with it. Jesus said to them, I was glad I wasn't there because you need to believe. The disciples that were with Christ needed to believe. In this scripture, it really moved me because what it made me see was that some of us are calling on Jesus. And we're calling on him in the midnight hour and crying out, Lord, why aren't you helping me? I don't know about you, but I've been there. And sometime in my prayer, I begin to cry and say, Lord, why don't you hear me? But Jesus is saying, it's being done so that I may be lifted up. Yeah. But some of us don't want Christ to be lifted up. We want ourselves to be lifted up. See, and when for us, here's how it is. You know when it's yourself because you want to get the glory. You want to show up and preach and sing and prophesy. But how about when you're struggling? How about when the battle's not over? Are you going to shout now?
Amen.
Some of you have lost your praise. But I'm telling you that, like the first verse when he says he gives you the weapons of your warfare, with even your hands and your fingers, he prepared them for battle. God has prepared you for a spiritual battle, and he has not forsaken you. Somebody repeat after me, my God has not forsaken me. Hallelujah. My God has not forsaken me. And then when Jesus saw that Lazarus was dead, now imagine this, he did not just speak, but when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, everything's going to be all right. Now, what would you feel like if you were with somebody that said they love the Lord and they told you, you don't have to rush home, they're going to be all right? And you get there and they're dead. You'd be like, I ain't going to that church no more. That's all I know. You know, they said they were close to my family and they weren't even there. Some of us are like that. Somebody didn't show up. Somebody did not answer your call. Somebody let you down. And now you're sitting on God. But God is trying to use the very thing that you're going through to glorify his name. Church, I want to get right and go home. But most of all, I want to be in the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
I don't want to play church anymore. I want to be in the will of my Father so that when people see me, they don't see me changing to adapt to the world. But yet they see the life of Christ in my every DNA. See, the thing about God, you have DNA. Every one of us have DNA. And you know what? The DNA that you have should represent Christ. How many here want to grow spiritually? Are you sure you want to grow spiritually?
Amen.
Now, the thing is that the enemy knows your heart too. It's time to stop blaming somebody else. See, Mary and Martha had reason to blame Jesus. They had reason to blame Jesus because he was not there. And when he got there, Lazarus was dead in the grave for what? 4 days. 4 days. And some of us have a nerve to say that God wasn't there in time. As long as you have breath in your body, your God has not forsaken you. As long as you can say, yes, Lord, your God has not forsaken you. As long as you can get on your knees and cry, you must know that your God has not forsaken you. So it's time to know that you know that you know that you got a Savior, a God that's mighty in battle, that's watching over you. Even though the situation looks like it's dead, even though it looks like you're blind, you can't walk, you're in the hospital day and night, don't you know that my God is still able? Your God is still able. It's time to know that you know that your God is more than enough. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. I like it when the church praises him with songs. But I love it when you praise it because you've been released. And that the chains have been broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you know that a lot of people go where the crowd is at? But the Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. So I want to say to you, church, it's time to know that God has not left you hanging. He has not left you hanging. So when Jesus came, he found that he had been in the tomb 4 days already. And it says in the 19th, it said that Mary of the Jews came to Martha to counsel them concerning their brother. And it says in the 20th, it says, Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. So she just sat in the house. And Martha therefore said unto Jesus, she went out to go speak with Jesus. She said, listen, I just want to have a little meeting with you. Yeah, you're here. That's good. He's already dead. He already been in the grave for 4 days. You know, so when you go in there, you might want to get ready. How many of us, like you were supposed to be on time for a date. You know you late. You remember that feeling? You know that date was at 8 o'clock and it's now 9. You're trying to, okay, listen. You even driving in your car. Okay, when I get there. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop at 7-Eleven, get some 7-Eleven flowers. We know we are late, and we know that your wife or your spouse or your loved one is going to get all upon you. Now, this was Jesus' friend, family, cousin. You see what I mean? So it wasn't just any old body. And she came out and said, you know what, Jesus, I think you're late. It's like showing up for church late and you were supposed to lead prayer. You come into church like this. Hold on, excuse me. You get to the mic and you come up here. Oh, excuse me for being late. But this is what happened with Jesus. He showed up for the party and he was late. And so what happened in the next verse, and then I'm almost done with you. Amen. It says here, Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. And Martha, therefore, said unto him, Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. I want you to make that personal. If you would have been here, I would have been revived. If you would have been here, I wouldn't be sick. This is what we're doing. We're saying this to one another. We're putting what God can do for you on somebody else. We're talking about, well, they ain't moving spiritually. But you've been dried up for years. You understand what God is saying? It's like, will these dry bones live? The prophet said to him, will these dry bones live again? And he said, you have to speak to the dry bones and then they shall get up. So I'm asking you, in the hard time, when you're going through, when friends are telling you that he's late, when friends are telling you that Jesus don't care about you because he was not on time, are you going to stand up and say, I love the Lord. I love you, Lord. I know you wasn't on time. I know I don't think you're on time, but I know you're on time because my God is always on time. Hallelujah. Because there's a stronghold. There's a battle going on in the lives of God's people, and we're playing church. There's a battle going on in this world today, and we're playing church. But I want to get right, and I want to be right. So she said to him, Lord, it said, if thou been here, my brother would not be dead. And then the next verse said, even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Look at your situation. Say, I shall rise again. My situation, I'm going to rise over it again. Do you believe in the word of God? So I'm going to ask you, whatever you're dealing with makes you feel like you're dead. It makes you feel like you're dead in the grave. Some of us haven't cried out before God in a long time. Some of us said, I'm really not into it anymore. And when I think of this story of Martha, and I think about how Mary sat there in tears saying, Jesus left me hanging. My own family member, my own loved one, the one that I took the time to wipe his feet with my own hair. He didn't care enough about my brother. Some of us are coming around the pastor trying to make a deal. Let's make a deal. But God don't roll like that. God don't roll like that. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your spirit. And homie, don't play that. Amen. We're ready to wrap it up now. But the last scripture, somebody give God some praise. I'm going to get ready to end it with this here. It says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall not die, yet shall live. And whosoever believeth and believeth on me shall never die. So say to yourself, I shall never die because I believe upon him. So the situation that you're in is dealing with the spirit of suicide. You have to say, I shall never die, but I shall live. That marriage that you're struggling with, you got to say, it shall never die, it will live. That situation in your body, you got to say, I will not die, I shall live. Yes. Because my God is greater. The last scripture says here, and it says in the 27, it says, she said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh unto the world. And the last scripture I want to go into before he plays my track, it says in Joshua 1:9, it says, I'm going to ask that you all stand. And I want you to get ready to praise him. In this last scripture, it says, be strong and courageous. It says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.